What's her name? You're tragic in your eyes, a river full. And I hear you calling, and I start running.
Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. Those of you who are looking at your clock, we are about a half an hour late. We had a technical snafu. I think it may have been on my end, so we apologize for that. Glad you could hang in there and wait for us to reach your home or wherever you happen to be listening to us. Some of you, I know, listen at work. So I guess I should say... at your computer, that makes the most sense. We are now into January 10th, 2008. In most places, they have a little ways to go yet to catch up to us on the West Coast, about an hour and a half. However, they'll soon be behind. And I would like to welcome... any new listeners we have out there, I'm told by some personal friends that there's going to be some new groups listening to us. Where are those people? Well, they're all over the place. We are heard as far away as Brazil. I know that. I got an email earlier in the week from a nice gentleman that was asking a few questions about some of the research I have done in reference to the former bodyguard of Adolf Hitler. And, of course, he began his first email to me by dressing me down, telling me that Otto Skorzeny died in 1975, and therefore my piece in the Idaho Observer didn't really mean anything because the whole world knew that Skorzeny died in Spain in 1975 and not December 31st of 1999. And of course I had to tell him that when he came to America after World War II, when he assisted George Bush, according to the information he gave Eric Orion, who was dating Skorzeny's daughter, that he co-founded the CIA in 1947, and he did so using an alias, which tends to help one hide their identity. And my response to him was, duh. In other words, that's the whole point of the article I wrote, is that the history books lied to us. And they still do lie to us, so we must keep that in mind. And so I basically responded to the gentleman and told him that my reason for writing the article was the new information that I had discovered through some painstaking research, and through the work of Eric Orion, and most of all, the unusually honest disclosure of Skorzeny. When I did my research, I was able to come to the conclusion that Skorzeny was telling the truth. After all, who would admit to a murder they did not commit? Now, of course, unless they were trying to cover for someone else, it's very difficult to believe that someone would admit, even for covering for someone else, that they had committed a murder, unless that other person was maybe their spouse, and you knew you were going to die, and so you just wanted to end the case for once and for all. It was not exactly the case of Otto Skorzeny, however, because he was definitely dying over a period of time, and many people knew that, and certainly the U.S. intelligence community knew that. The one factor which seemed to ring true was that over the years, according to Skorzeny, he had been, quote, screwed by the Bush family, particularly George Bush and his CIA buddies, and screwed out of a lot of money, according to Skorzeny's confession. And so he was interested in bringing that story out. Now, I got a response after telling this gentleman that evidently an 18,000-word piece in a newspaper, a piece really so large that it consumed 12 pages of the newspaper and had to be printed in three successive series in order to accommodate other stories, he decided that I must have had reason for printing what I printed, and he was so elated to have heard from me within a short period of time of receiving the email that he had to respond in Portuguese, which they speak in Brazil. Somehow now I don't speak Portuguese, I do speak several languages, but somehow I was able to figure out what he was saying in this email. In fact, he had responded to a friend to let him know that I had responded to his email, and he, although the first email was in English, and he obviously spoke good English, or had some help from someone who did in putting down his thoughts. I had no idea the man was Portuguese or spoke Portuguese until I got a response from him the second time. So he was basically telling his friend that he had spoken to me via email and explained why I wrote the article, and I guess I had turned him into a believer. But I did so through knowledge, and that's something that we as listeners, we as people on this planet who can be influenced by the media, must know that the media controls everything that we hear, everything that we see in terms of what we call official information. They like to call it news. It's usually something which is a distortion or a complete spin of what the truth is, many times leaving out complete facts, replaced by things that touch our emotions or sway our thinking in whatever direction the source prefers that our thinking move. We become so accustomed to that sort of reporting of what current events are portrayed to be, that we now have a new reality. That reality is based upon our laziness to really research the facts for ourselves, or to just readily accept what we're told as the truth. And those of us who know the truth to be a certain way, or our reality based upon what we see as the truth to be a certain mindset, have difficulty, and I'm searching for words right here if you can't tell, we have difficulty in knowing what's really going on unless we have access to that information. The simplest example would be for you to be watching the television, and the news program is on, and let's say it's the weather report section of the news. Usually happens somewhere toward the end of the broadcast, because everybody, for one reason or another, wants to know what the weather is going to be like the next day. Maybe you have a trip. Maybe you're wondering if you should dress your children in heavy clothing before they go to school, or have an umbrella. Maybe you have some outdoor event planned, and the weather certainly can impact it. So you watch the weather. In order to keep you glued, is a popular word they use, to the television, in other words, keep your attention there, they entice you with all kinds of stories, and they put things that you most would like to hear toward the end of the program, which increases the likelihood that you are going to hear all of the rest of the program and be influenced also by the advertising. So it's a catch-22 situation for the listener or the viewer, in that you are dependent upon whatever information, and even teased a bit about its withholding, that by the time it comes along, you readily accept it for the truth, and it becomes your reality. You are all of a sudden grateful for hearing that information. Such is the nature of brainwashing, and it's one reason why it's so effective. Now, by the time that news show progresses to the point where the weather report comes along, you get the weather. Imagine getting the weather. You've looked outside and you see it snowing. Yet the weatherman tells you that it's not only pleasant outside, but that the temperature is higher than it's been all season, and that people are enjoying being out in the evening hours because it's so warm. They're taking walks. And you look outside and you see the snow and you say, well, how can that be? I have snow in my yard. I have snow on my lawn. The street is filled with snow. There's snow on the windshield of my vehicle. How can that possibly be that people are outside having walks and celebrating the fact that it's as warm as it's ever been in the evening all year? Well, such is the nature of disinformation. You yourself are not going to buy into the story because you've got the snow. Someone who lives in another part of town, or even in another nearby area, nearby city, may not have that weather, or they may not bother to look outside. They're so influenced by what they see on the screen that they never think to look outside to see if there is snow. So unless you, for yourself, look out your window, you may not know that there's snow outside. Such is the nature of research. And I know I'm insulting some people by using such a basic example, but that's the nature of brainwashing. The facts can be staring you in the face, and yet you're so influenced by what you're told that you become dependent upon what you're told. And if you don't hear it from these official sources, then it's not even a reality for you. It's not something that you're even willing to begin to accept, merely because you haven't taken the time to educate yourself specifically. You can certainly stick your head out the door to see how cold it is if you're really interested in knowing what the current weather is. We rely so much on others doing things for us, and this automatic trust that we give them, this automatic license to tell us how to think and what to know, that we really shortchange ourselves, and we disempower ourselves. We give the power to these others, and they know we do that. So they do whatever they can to keep our attention, which is why the news is so often fraught with negativity, scenes of sometimes tragedy. You know, if there's a train wreck, they've got to show us a picture of a train lying on its side, and you really have no way of knowing if that's actually even happened, except for the fact that they've shown you some pictures you're trusting they're telling you the truth, that the pictures you see of this train that's derailed and turned over and maybe on fire or leaking some kind of chemical has actually happened, and that the images you see are real images. Now, recently, this is all a setup for what I'm going to talk about, some current news, and an update. And this is important for a lot of reasons. Why? Why would it be important? Well, let's talk about what it is. Over the past few days, and occasionally in the evening, I've mentioned the report that our Treasury Secretary, Henry Paulson, had been shot. Of course, these reports were unconfirmed on many levels. They were not reported whatsoever in American mainstream media. And the story got out into the alternative media merely because of a British writer, Christopher Story, who had disclosed the fact that through his study and his reporting of the funds that are being embezzled or prevented from going into our U.S. Treasury have been hijacked by three successive administrations with the aid of several intelligence communities, with the aid of some central banks, with the aid of some companies which are brokerage firms of big stature, by the way. And the information was given to Mr. Story either with the intention of hoodwinking him and embarrassing him and ruining his credibility on his otherwise accurate reporting of this embezzlement, that Secretary Henry Merritt Paulson Jr., the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, had been shot on December 28th or 29th of 2007 and died on January 2nd, 2008. Mr. Story had heard and accurately reported on some arrests. Maybe not as many were occurring as what he had been told, although from a variety of sources on an international basis, he had been told that these reports were true. So he continued to report this new information, trusting that the verification process through several sources was indeed pointing out that Paulson had been shot and that after a couple of days had passed away. Now, keep in mind that my reporting of what Mr. Story had reported was prefaced with the statement that these were unconfirmed reports and that we really have no way without the truth coming out at all in the media about this. We had no way of knowing if these reports were accurate. In fact, many people were totally ignorant of the fact that Watergate was going on at all, that this money was being embezzled for years, and at least 14 years. Well, that's just impossible to believe. How can something like that not reach the media? After all, the media tells us what the weather is. They give us the latest sports scores in real time. And they run crawls across the screen on various news networks constantly, 24/7, other than when they're showing their commercials about buying drugs or using oil or maybe buying a car or paying for your insurance. They spend their time controlling your thoughts. And they've done it for such a long time, and they've done it without impunity to the extent that you accept it. And such is the nature of their brainwashing. So when the truth does come out in something like what Mr. Story has been reporting for several years and researching, it seems to be so outlandish, so incredible at that time that you really cannot understand that it's going on, that it's true. Now, for those of us who were aware of Wantagate, it was difficult for us to imagine how our Treasury Secretary could have been shot, or why he would have been shot, from someone within the government. As you know, some of the facts behind the case, there was quite a bit of blackmail going on between various characters in the administration, and some of their appointees, such as Mr. Paulson in the Treasury. Mr. Paulson happened to have a few associates who were corrupt as well in the Treasury Department, some of his underlings, and they were swept into this event. They themselves had been shot. One such individual was Robert Kimmett, who is a Deputy Secretary of the Treasury. And his name had been reported in past reports, particularly during the time Henry Paulson had been arrested 1 year ago, December 23rd, in Germany. And he was, at that time, obfuscating what we were told was going to be the final settlement with Ambassador Lee E. Wanta. By the way, he is now going by his birth name, Lee, and not Leo, which was his intelligence agency name. And here we had to sort through the mess at that time when he was arrested, because the government and the Treasury were denying that this arrest took place, just as they denied that the shooting took place. Now, it's quite possible that Paulson was shot, and he could have been given what was referred to recently in a story that Christopher Story wrote, that Paulson was given a pass-through shot, which is an intentional wound where the bullet actually passes through the body or allows the victim to survive because it wasn't received in a lethal area. Such was the presumption of the wound that Paulson had, at least that Story was told he had. And now, keeping in mind that when I and some other talk show hosts and reporters had discussed this event, that we had to preface our statements, for obvious reasons, with the statement that these were unconfirmed reports. Now, I did state that my opinion or my intuition told me that there was a likelihood that this was true, that my perceptions told me that someone was lying about this, and let's look at it this way. Let's be very objective about this. If the story was untrue, someone was lying. Those that made the story up and passed the information on to Christopher Story, who has been writing about financial matters on a global scale, not for the globalists, but on a global scale, for some 40 years, he would be made to look ridiculous if this were untrue. So they very well could have been lying to him to discredit him, because he had been quite accurate, not just about Wantagate, but even his predictions about what Wantagate would do to the world economy. And they didn't want us to know that. Now, let's say that Paulson had been shot, and what he was told was the truth. Then you have to ask yourself, why hasn't it been reported in the mainstream media? In other words, nothing was heard. They call that lying by omission. And so, either way, the source was lying, if you get my point. It just requires a bit of thinking. You've got to think outside the box and understand that there is a truth to everything, and that if Mr. Story was told that Paulson was shot and Paulson was not shot, or he was told Paulson was shot and died but he did not die, someone is lying. Someone is spreading disinformation, and the purpose for the disinformation, number one, relies on the fact that on so many other issues, including the weather, or including the true outcome of a sporting event, there are errors or there are outright lies told. In fact, we don't question the weatherman. I would say the weatherman has about, on average, a 50% accuracy rate. He's either right or he's wrong. In fact, he's accurate 100% of the time on that basis, that he's either 50% right or 50% wrong. And 50 plus 50 is 100. So he's performing 100% of the time, but he's good at what he does only half the time. And I've often remarked that someone playing professional baseball who achieves a batting record of 300 really is only successful 30% of the time. And the reward for being good at 30% of the time in baseball, or excellent, if you want to use that word, 30% of the time, is the Hall of Fame and fortune and advertising contracts. You're now seen as a valuable commodity because they've created this value out of nothing, much like they create the financial system. In fact, everything that we know is created from nothing. It's usually not created based upon the truth. Now I say everything we know in terms of what we are told, what is put into our history books, what is put into the news reports, the newspapers, the radio, the television, even books. And now on the internet, the disinformation sites, the sites that are out there to say, well, wait a minute, this can't be true. I read a report on the internet that said that that's a lie, that that didn't happen. Because we assume that because the original story of Paulson being shot is so hard to believe, that when we see the disinformation, we kind of have some relief now that, oh, I'm glad I found out that that wasn't true, because it really didn't seem like it would be true. Because if it were, like everything else that's true, we hear about it on the media. You see, we don't seem to be able to deduce what's really going on. That's the nature of brainwashing. That's the nature of the disinformation and the agencies that specialize in the disinformation. They spend their time crafting ways to cause you to think a certain way and to revoke a certain response or a certain non-response. So, going back to the beginning of the show when I began talking about Otto Skorzeny, Hitler's former bodyguard and the a co-founder in the CIA, who said, by the way, that we didn't just receive 50,000 or so scientists from Germany, that there were maybe as many as 200,000 spies from the German SS that came into our country and infiltrated our whole society, including our intelligence agency. In fact, it's that way today. In 2008, it's no different from what it was in 1947. The only difference, if there is a difference, is that some of those people have passed on, and they build up the organization and fine-tuned how corrupt they were going to be. In fact, they've reached their pinnacle right now. They're as corrupt as they ever could be. Not everyone in the CIA, but by and large, the majority, and definitely the leadership. One need only look at the number of CIA directors we've had in the last 10 or 15 years to see that there's a big changeover, that something doesn't work out for those leading the organization, even though they have promises to clean it up and improve its reputation around the world. That's just more of the same mind control, the same propaganda when we hear those statements, because they don't tell us anything else they're doing, besides the fact that they're going to make it more effective. Certainly with the technology we have today, they should be very effective in what they do. That is, if they're not hiding anything. The problem they have is that while the technology has improved for them and the methods that they have for conducting investigations or eavesdropping or clandestine murders, or the suppression of the truth, in a lot of areas, particularly in the banking industry. The point I'm making here is that despite the fact that they are that advanced now, we have come along also with the technology. We don't have everything at our disposal that the intelligence agencies have. Yet because we are deprived of a certain amount of information, some of us also become conscious of what is really going on. It's as though this magic or this savior out there somewhere in the universe is looking down upon us, giving us an opportunity to recognize what's going on. Those of us in tune with the Creator know that if we pray to God, God will speak back to us and God will answer us and produce results in our life. If we truly know about God. And so through the mystique of what causes everything to tick and everything that was put into the universe in at the time of its creation, we have some means through which to escape this paradigm of mind control. But you have to become aware of who you are, and you have to take responsibility for your actions and your thoughts and what you do and what impact it's going to have on everyone else. This is an endless interwoven fabric of time and various levels of consciousness. And our actions and our inactions affect the whole of what we're talking about here. So when it comes to mind control, if they can keep us from knowing the truth and get us believing, get us assuming that something is so just because they say so, then they succeed in stopping us from knowing the truth. However, when we, for whatever reason, come upon the truth, then we begin to individually or collectively question what we're being told. In other words, we all start looking outside our windows and we see the snow in our yards. And so we say about the weatherman, well, he's not seeing the same thing that we're seeing. Where is he getting his information? And now we're in a position to challenge the official story, because the weatherman is the next thing close to God. That is after the gas company or after the electric company or the banks. It's changing. Our world is changing now, where all of these corporate institutions now have the authority of our God, or they have even an authority that they place above God, and they can do no wrong. So they can steal from us. They can lie to us. They can cheat us out of our hard-earned wealth, what little some of us may have, because to be rich and successful is not enough for them. They're so greedy they have to have it all. And there is a small clique of people known as a cabal or a shadow government, especially in the United States, that is influenced by people outside of our immediate sphere of influence. I was speaking about people in secret societies in foreign countries that tell them what to do. And they do it through the same illusion of money. Now, the weatherman really has no control over you unless you act solely upon the information he gives you. So as we all look out the window and we see the snow, we know something is wrong, and so we begin to question the weatherman. But why don't we do this all the way across the board? Why don't we question the news stories that we hear about what's going on in politics? We had a recent caucus take place just a couple of days ago in New Hampshire, and Hillary Clinton was reported to be the winner on the Democrat side, and John McCain on the Republican side, although the exit polls show overwhelmingly that Ron Paul had 33% of the votes. 33% of the votes, yet he was given about 8 8% by the mainstream media. And they were all reporting the same figures. Why? Because they're all controlled by the same corporate families who are listening and following the orders of the shadow government or the intelligence-controlled aspect of the shadow government. You see, when you use muscle, when you threaten the lives of these people, they'll lie. If you pay them enough bribe money, they'll lie. And then they begin to believe that they have some special kind of power, that they can hide the truth from the general public. It gives them a sadistic feeling of power. And so because of that, because they're able to get away with that, they continue it. And in a way, it's rather sadistic that people would lie so much. Even, you know, think about the newscasters that have families. And they go home after lying all day on the air. They go home to their families. What reality do they present? Do they just carry on, or have they all gone through their own particular brainwashing program that they act like robots, just parroting what's ever written before them? I presume that is the case, by and large, that most of them are just parroting the words, the scripts that are placed before them and told, this is the news. It used to be that to be a journalist on the mainstream media, you had to do some digging. You had to know how to read, and you had to know how to write, and you had to know how to form proper sentence structures. And our use of the language has degraded to the extent that if someone is not in a sporting event, let's say they're playing football, I hear this now in the media in regard to athletes and their injuries. They use statements like, well, he's out with a knee, or he's out with an elbow, or he's out with a hand. Well, the last time I checked, most athletes have two knees, two elbows, and two hands. So if he's out with two knees and two elbows or two hands. But this is, by omission, they're not using even proper sentence structure or proper grammar or proper thought. You would say he's out with a knee injury. He injured his knee. Therefore, he's on the injured list and he won't be playing. Or he's got an injured elbow. So the word injured is left out. It's implied that out with an elbow means he has an injured elbow. I'm not trying to be ridiculously stupid here, but I'm pointing out that there's a certain amount of ignorance in using the language or the misuse of the language. What do you say when a person has a head injury? He's out with a head? Or if he's injured his gluteus maximus, do you say he's out with the butt? Think about the way they use the language. Think about the way we receive information. And we don't correct these people. We don't demand more from them. We know the media is corrupt. How many of you are writing letters to the media? How many are writing letters to your FCC? Demanding that they start reporting the truth? Well, you would have to assume that the FCC is complicit in that and that they're permitting the media to lie to us. So can you trust the governing body? We abide by FCC laws as citizens, yet those that are entrusted and these licenses that the FCC hands out, you know, are to the public's benefit. As they describe it, that if you have a radio station or a television station, you have an obligation to be honest and serving the best interests of the public. Well, that's sort of a loaded policy if it's being used the way it is and nothing's being done about it. In other words, is it to the benefit of the public to be brainwashed? Is it acceptable for us to be brainwashed? Is it acceptable for them to know that we're being brainwashed and they do nothing to stop it? That's where corruption enters the government. So we have corrupt agencies. We have corrupt agents of these agencies, and I would say the media is used as an agent for them in revealing their whims and their wishes and their control in increments through what are called newscasts or news reports. And they become taken for granted. What's interesting is the person, the athlete, who's out of the game with a knee evidently has one less knee than those that are still in the game because they have two knees. The logic that I even have to use to explain this is amazing. Yet it needs explanation because those who I'm directing this to do not pay attention to the fact that they're brainwashed. So when you don't hear something, what I'm saying here, folks, is when you don't hear something on the news, it doesn't mean that it's not true if the word has gotten to you through some other means. Just because it's not being reported on the news. For the past 60 years, since the inception of the CIA, we have been lied to about what goes on. And that's been done with the aid of the media. Now, does that mean we've just been lied to for 60 years? By no means at all. Historically, just in recent times, we have been lied to. Since the days of Christ. Over 2,000 years we've been lied to. And we can go back another 11 to 14,000 years we have been lied to before that. And we can go back probably as far back as 450,000 years. Wow, wait a minute, Mr. Nikoloff. There was nobody here. The earth didn't even exist then. Well, you've been given the lies to believe that that's the case. So your understanding becomes even more difficult now to come to grips with because we've been lied to about everything. The intention of those that knew these things was to hide it from those who didn't because it was easier for them to maintain control over those who were ignorant. And it's still the case today. Oh, you may know whether or not Britney Spears wears underwear when she gets out of a limousine, but many of you who know that fact don't know who is the President of the United States, or your Vice President, or the Secretary of the Treasury, or the Secretary of the Department of Defense, or who the Chief Justices are in the Supreme Court. Or that there even is a Supreme Court. It's amazing what some people say. I've heard people in quizzes on television, on the radio, ask the question, name a large city near Cleveland. And the answer is Ohio. Or name a where is a particular foreign country, and you get a ridiculous answer. Or in Africa, or wherever. In other words, people know so little about the world, and it's been determined that the powers that be prefer that we just know enough to go to work, pay our taxes, and come home and die. Do it to this point until all you can do is die and just let them go on playing their games, their embezzlement and their murder and their obfuscation of the truth, because they have power when they know something that you don't know. Oh, does it feed their ego and does it line their pockets? So this is what we have going on. This is really something that, and I hate to have to describe it in such a basic way, but really, I'm just using elementary logic to show you, those of you who have certain difficulties understanding when you're actually hearing the truth and when you're being hoodwinked. The difference between the two can be a very fine line. Such is the case, again, with the shooting and the reported death of Henry M. Paulson by journalist Chris and author Christopher Story, who has been reporting about economics on a global scale for nearly 40 years. He comes out with this information, and all of a sudden he's being discredited. Now, if it is true, then why isn't he being acknowledged for bringing the truth? Well, they've tried to hide the whole event. First of all, they don't want to get caught stealing trillions of dollars. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's only millions. And then quite possibly it could be a couple of billion. But trillion, I have no idea how much money that is. What are you telling me? That our president and our vice president and various people in the government are stealing trillions of dollars? I have no idea how much money that is when we get into 12 zeros. Or even into the 13th digit. You know, when you get beyond three commas in money, it becomes very difficult for us to imagine how much money that is. So this can't possibly be happening, or I would have heard it on the news. I mean, I get the sports score, I get the weather, I hear about all the accidents and the murders that take place. Surely I would know something like that. But we don't know, because we've never been told the truth. Throughout most of our lifetimes, most people alive on the planet have not heard the truth, ever, from the media. They like to refer to themselves as the mainstream. In other words, it's the higher source. It's the most reliable source, or the source with the most integrity. But that has shifted because the alternative media and the internet has replaced it. And that's a threat. So what do? They attack those that use the internet. But they fail to attack themselves because they have their websites. I pointed that out to Fox recently in a letter that I wrote to them, and I read it on the trusted news trader, the TNT NewsHour here on BBS Radio yesterday afternoon. I reread now, I think it's three times I've read this piece somewhere on the radio, on my own Evident Footprint show and on the TNT NewsHour. I've read my email to Fox News telling them how obvious it was that they were lying to us about what is going on in the world. In particular, I wrote about the exclusion, the intentional exclusion of Fox News of Congressman Dr. Ron Paul from their debate, their presidential debate. Why was it so important for them to exclude him? Because people are waking up and people are supporting Congressman Paul's race to lead us out of this quagmire of lies and deceit. His intent is to do away with the Federal Reserve. That got John F. Kennedy killed. And some other presidents along the way were murdered. We've had far more murdered than what's ever been reported. Because these people learned a long time ago that if they wanted their agendas carried out on a global scale, they were going to have to keep information from the general public. We were not told that Franklin Delano Roosevelt participated in the attack on Pearl Harbor by allowing it to happen. And our government lied to us, despite the fact that the Hilo Herald, I believe the name of the paper was, in Hawaii, had predicted prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor, they actually had a headline story saying that Pearl Harbor may be attacked. Why was it the newspaper was able to figure that out, and yet our government didn't know a thing about it? Even after the newspaper was published. you would think right there in Hawaii that they would have been aware of that fact, and they could have taken precautions against it. Well, we're not told the truth about the cause for war and the amount of money that is made when they conduct a war. They lose some of their people. Do you think these people love their fellow countrymen, the people they are serving as leaders? The Japanese no more love their people than the American leaders love their people then and now, today, because everything that's going on is undermining the quality of life, especially for the middle class, through the systematic destruction of our constitution, our economic system, our educational system, our infrastructure, meaning roads, bridges, our natural resources, the poisoning of our food, our air, our water, all of this is being done intentionally. Just because a few people that have money feel that they can escape this, and they can escape even on a spiritual level any responsibility. In other words, they can escape their own karma that they're creating. Well, that's an impossibility. I said earlier on that every thought, every action that you have interacts with the rest of the universe and has an impact on it. And much like a body can shun a bacteria or a virus if it's not too far gone in its natural abilities, it can shun these deceptions and these lies. The universe can certainly do away with us. It was designed to protect itself. And the planet, on the same scale, is capable of doing that, which is why we have earthquakes and volcanoes and disruptions. That is, if they're not man-made, they're still man-made based upon the conflicting energies that come from our negative consciousness and the positive qualities of the earth, which is really here to sustain life. We are murdering the earth, not just through our actions, but also through our thinking. It's not just pollutants that are murdering the earth. The very fact that they're taking the oil out of the ground is setting up the pollution in the first place. Let's look at the source of the pollution. It begins with taking the oil out of the ground. But we somehow just settle for the fact, well, Al Gore said that there's global warming, and Al Gore was the vice president, and he ran for president, and he's an important man, so therefore Al Gore is telling us the truth when he says that our planet is warming up and it's because of the people who drive cars and use hairspray. There's never any mention of those who are dropping bombs, shooting bullets and throwing hand grenades and shooting rockets and blowing up nuclear weapons in the ground, under the sea, in space, in the air, poisoning everyone on the planet. They blame the people that drive cars for the problems that we have in the world. And of course, they forget to mention the fact that Al Gore is heavily into practicing satanic worship and satanic rituals with his buddy Bill Clinton. And they don't mention the fact that most of our world leaders are involved in some sort of perverse homosexual activity or perverse child abduction or pedophilia or the child sex slave industry or the female sex slave industry or mind control or the drug business, drug running, drug trafficking, the harvesting and cultivation of the drugs that they sell, while they have a war on drugs. You see, it just becomes so complex and so multi-tiered, so multi-dimensional that we couldn't possibly think that our government would do that to us. And so they, knowing full well that they lie to us, knowing that our government from top to bottom lies to us, on a local level all the way up to the top, to the leadership of this country and every nation in the world, they lie to us because there's big money in it. So when we get a report about the U.S. Treasury Secretary having been shot or having been killed, it's just impossible for us to believe that because the media would tell us about that. Even though the weatherman's wrong 50% of the time, we still go to listen to him. Somehow we feel 50% better if we know what the lie is going to be, I guess. And I'm being a bit sarcastic there because we don't think through that process. But that's what we rely on. Or we watch sports to watch these Hall of Fame baseball players who are these days are admitting to taking the same drugs, illegal drugs they're taking to enhance their performances. And even as they take these illegal drugs, most of them don't go far beyond that 300 batting average for their careers. Or put it in a different perspective, put it in the business perspective, that they're only successful at what they do 30% of the time, and yet they achieve fame. Now, you fail 50% of the time at your job, and you lose your job. You're fired. They want you to perform 100% of the time for you to keep your job. There's a dichotomy in keeping your job, too, because you don't get to keep the money you earn. In fact, it's become less and less and less as the years go by. Really, ever since 1913, that's been the case, because in one way or another, it may not come directly out of your pocket, but you've lost some aspect of what belongs to you, and that starts with your country. That starts with your own income. That starts with your home and the things you own. But it goes beyond that. It goes into your mind. Do you own your mind? Do you own your thoughts? Are you doing the whims and the dictates of those that create the laws that tell you how to think and what's permissible to do? Where did these people get that right? I thought that right was reserved to God, the Creator. So ignorantly, we give these rights away to people who run the government. We give our thinking away. We give our prosperity or our abundance away. We give our health away. We give our sanity away. And then we do that with our children and our children's children. And we bear no responsibility for that because we can always blame the government for creating such a bad life for our kids. When we have within us the power ourselves to make our own lives better, thus affecting the lives of our children. Because we can teach our children then, based just upon what we learn ourselves, about our own individual sovereignty and our own responsibility for what goes on in our lives. Now, I urge anyone that wants to know what's going on in the business world, keeping in mind that there might be a little bit of disinformation out there, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and read up on Wantagate, read up on the current events, because if what Mr. Christopher Story is writing is true, and the Wanta settlement doesn't go through, or no one stops the corruption in the central banks, particularly now Citibank, or the corruption in the Security Exchange Commission and all the stock market, we are in for some bad times very soon. You are about to witness the total collapse of our economy. And I've been this alarm. Christopher Story and some other writers have been sounding this alarm that we are in a bad way if we don't start paying attention, and we need to pay attention right away. May already be too late. But what will you do when you find that out, that what I've been telling you tonight is true, what Mr. Story has been reporting, many other people who are spreading the truth in the alternative media, what will you do when you find out that that's the case? Are you going to look to us for the solutions too? Because I've got my own issues I'm going to have to deal with. I may not have time to deal with yours. Not that I wouldn't want to, I just may not have the time. I'm going to be busy taking care of my own. And it's about time that we individually and collectively wake up to our responsibilities, that others aren't going to do it for us. They're going to do it for themselves. And if for no other reason, you should start doing it for yourself. I urge you also to go to www.worldreports.org and read the current events being reported by author, journalist, editor, publisher, Christopher Story. The man is in England telling us the truth about what's going on in our own country. We have a hard time grasping reality. Yet, should we overturn this whole state of affairs that's going on and stop this corruption, I would nominate the man for sainthood. And he should get a Pulitzer Prize. Because there are some who are reading his work and think that the man is supported by the truth. And he's a man of God, and he should be recognized as such. We're being led by demons. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, the host, and I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I'll be back again tomorrow with more. Peace, love, and light. Have a good night.